Great. Let's pray. Thank you, Father. Be with us as we read your scripture, get guided by your word. Help us as we discuss your word and help us to just be open to hear you and to make changes from our position, oh Father, and just come to you, mighty Lord. Be with everyone else that's strong. You hasten their steps. It's in the name of Christ I pray and believe. Amen. Spiritual maturity is what I want to talk about today in context of the body of Christ. Because when you think about it, we are a big family, and so it means we are different places in life. If you look at my tree over there, let's see. That part is pretty green, right? But that's not necessarily so, but it's the same tree. And the nature of church is that you'll always have this dynamics where some group is ahead, another group is behind. Some group has different needs, another one will have we'll all have different needs that we need to meet. So part of being spiritual as a family of God is understanding that and functioning well. And as you mature as a family, you'll have people with young kids, others that empty nesters, midlife crisis, just finished, just graduated from high school, graduated from college. We all have different needs in life and in spiritual well-being. Does that make sense? So if you understand that dynamics, it's important that as we mature, we're not spending time blaming and putting people down, but rather being the most spiritual we can be for everyone to function. Does that make sense? Because these needs are very different. And you're at a different corner. And when we do that, we are loving, we care, and we help each other to do well. I have a quote here that says, between an aeroplane and every other form, maybe I went too far, let's see. Between an aeroplane and every other form of locomotion and transportation, there is one great contrast. The horse and the wagon, the automobile, the bicycle, the locomotive, the speedboat, and the great battleship all can come to a standstill without danger. And they can all reverse their engines or their power and go back. But there is no reverse about the engine of an airplane. It cannot back up. It dare not stand still. If it loses its momentum and forward drives, then it crashes. The only safety for the airplane is in its forward and upward motion. The only safe direction for the Christian to take is forward and upward. If he stops or if he begins to slip and go backward, that moment he is in danger. I don't know how many of us have thought about our spiritual status. Individually, not as a church, individually. You try to go forward, upward, or you're trying to do the bare minimum, which is trying to put your engines on reverse and hold steady. It's not healthy. But I wanted to remind you of the tree I showed you. Just because one part of the tree is dry doesn't mean it's not growing. Because sometimes that's the part of the process. You got to dry off. Get rid of stuff before you grow. And if you think about your spiritual well-being, then you ask yourself, how am I doing? It helps you to stop judging and begin to have compassion and begin to ask yourself, how can I grow and how can I be compassionate and touch other people? That is where we have to begin to ask our roles in this body of Christ. What are we really doing as individuals? So, I'm going to spend my time in Romans 14. The context of Romans 14 is food, culture conflict between Jews and Gentiles. But I'll be talking from another different, same principle, but different applications. 14 verse 1, accept other believers. I accept other believers who are weak. Is that right? No, that's one. Accept other believers who are weak in faith and don't argue with them about what they think is right or wrong. One of the biggest challenges we're going to start having as we start developing all this, because we have different levels, some of us want to go right ahead and make disciples. And that's a good thing. To that, I say you can make disciples. Amen? Some of us are going through some challenges that need to work out your family life. To that, I say focus on God and work that out and become the disciple you need to be. For some of us, we're doing Safe People, right? How many of us have gotten the Safe People book? Okay, if you haven't, you need to get, you're missing out on a good deal going on here. Come on inside, we're going to have a good time discussing. Does that make sense? For some of us, the Safe People book is an amazing book we want to discuss. For some of us, it's too threatening. I say to you, that let's not argue about it. Let's make effort to make Jesus Lord and progress forward. When the body of Christ is busy arguing about this and that, it becomes cancerous. It's fighting itself. So let's move forward and make Jesus Lord and unite in working things out. And be that example you're looking for. Then it works out. But if we keep arguing about what's right and wrong, you never make it happen. You get stuck in the argument. Meanwhile, the devil is winning and the kingdom is stuck. We're not being mature. When you mature, that is part of just understanding that we are different places, but we're trying to move together and God's name is glorified. Amen? So the idea that we can all be at the same place is not true. The idea that we'll all behave the same way is not true. But one thing is true, Jesus is Lord to all of us, irrespective of what corner we sit in. We're still working on that. Does that make sense? Some of us are farther ahead, some are midway, some are just beginning. But we're all coming at this point. So I say this because sometimes we're so judgmental with each other to the extent that we're destructing the body of Christ. We judge this, we judge lung, we judge so many stuff that we don't know how to be safe and help people to just be godly. And because of that, it's all doing this and we're going nowhere. It's important to accept one another. Let's face it. It's important to not judge the millennials and accept them for who they are, because that's a generation coming from a different world. It's important not to judge the baby boomers as well and come from a different direction. The generations in between as well, Generation X, and the teens are coming. If we stay at that discourse of who does better than that, we're wasting time. We're destroying the body of Christ. We all need to keep moving forward and mature in our faith and make it work for what God wants it to be. Does that make sense? So accept other believers. It's very important. It's possible to be with people and not accept them. That's very possible. You can be around people but not accept them. So in building healthy family groups, we have to go beyond just being in the same family group. We have to accept each other and love each other so that we can turn around and show the body of Christ for what it can be. Amen. Sensitivity. Let's talk about that. If you have had a sensitive tooth, you know what I'm talking about. You put ice cream in that mouth and, oh my goodness, things can go really bad. Or you put a hot tea in that stuff and, things can really go bad for you. And just brushing teeth can be a nightmare. It depends with how sensitive you are. But since spiritual sensitivity is not so much that, it's so much being godly and spirit-led that you're aware of what's going on around you. Does that make sense? That you're spirit-led, that you pay attention to what's going on, and you want to say, okay, can we deal with that? And so the Bible says in Romans 14:2-3, it says, for instance, one person believes it's all right to eat anything, but another believer with a sensitive conscience will eat only vegetables. Those who feel free to eat anything must not look down on those who don't. And those who don't eat certain foods must not condemn those who do, for God has accepted them. Preferences. See, on Sunday I was sitting with Kinson. And I made a joke and I said, you know what? Those animals are going to take you to the high court before God because you're eating meat right now. And I said, well, but it was just a passing joke. But It's no big issue what you eat or don't eat. The principle, that was a big issue there because in the culture they lived in, it determined whether you're Christian, and how can you call yourself a Christian if you're eating this kind of food that is sacrificed to idols? So it was a big issue. That was a big issue in this culture. But for us, it's just the sensitivities of asking ourselves, what do we judge each other on? Let me put that to us. What do we judge each other on? That's the question. Music? Yeah, but like, how can you be a Christian, whatever, whatever, and go after the music?
Driving?
I'm repenting? Amen, amen? I said I'm driving well. Okay.
Politics.
Oh, that's a big one. That's a big one. We get caught up in that swirl and all, to the point where the Bible just stops to exist. One guy says one thing, and I don't want to say anything because I may say one thing and you go down. So how can he say that? It's the same principle. It's the same principle. We're fighting over food, just different food, politics food. We consume it differently. Different foods are served around. I'm like, oh my goodness. And sometimes we get on Facebook and tweet and we're getting on with it like we're not even quoting any scripture. We're just fighting over that food. How it was served in this particular channel, that particular channel, with channel. Well, I'm in the kingdom channel, so I don't want to mention these channels. And we fight over that stuff. And what we don't realize, it is damaging our spiritual well-being. It takes away the capacity to function as a Christian in a way that I'm happy to teach you God and all that. And the truth be told that, yeah, those politicians will be politicians. But you got to rise above it. This is the body of Christ that we are now one people here. Amen. That politics, we are affiliated to Jesus way more than liberal, conservative, and all that stuff that goes around. Independent. And all those technologies that come around with politics. Because I think it's the need of the hour. Something happened. Okay. Keep going. There was another one. What do we judge on? Yes.
Where you live.
That can be an issue. We feel shame, guilt. I can't tell people where I live. All of a sudden, and this is both ways. If you live in a good place, you think, they'll think I'm worldly. If you think in a bad place, you think, oh man, now look like I don't have it all together. Either way, it's working. And we judge each other in very superficial ways. There was another hand, yes.
Race.
We're going to be talking about that deeper in the months coming. But we can really get into this race thing and judge very differently. And make one person feel guilty and make another person feel like, you don't understand. We're going to talk about that. That's why we're doing safe people. We need you to get safe first before we can even talk about race issues. Because we start talking race, some of us really get out of sync with it. But if we are safe, we can talk about it in a godly way.
Amen.
Yes.
The way people dress.
That can be a big one.
Sexuality.
What?
Parenting styles.
Political views,
social status,
hair.
I don't have much.
Grab knows something about hair. You got to find that about it, Robert.
What?
What we watch.
Yes.
Books.
Looks.
Yes.
Do for work.
Status.
Education,
height,
cultures.
So, yes. What part of the country you come from?
North and South. If you're a New Yorker, you're in trouble. We're coming for you, man. We don't like New Yorkers. Sports team.
Blake is not sure about what you're talking about.
Food, vegans, and all that.
Everything we've said is really, a lot of what we've touched on is cultural driven. And culture is very much a subject of background and worldly stuff that forms your conscience and informs your thinking. But then we take that and that becomes a force of truth. And it's not truth. The only truth we have is God. The only truth we have is Jesus is Lord. And if we were able to understand that and then understand the fact that, yeah, we need to be sensitive about these things so that we don't say these things in such a way that we come across like we're putting people down. But we come across like Jesus is Lord. Whether you're a tall guy or a short guy, we'll love you. Whether you got too much hair, too little hair, we'll love you. Whether you're what race or which race, we'll love you. But that is the promise of Scripture, that when we come together, the battle that we're having is that they were letting worldly things get in the way of spreading the gospel, get in the way of doing things, that they didn't remember that they are called to be disciples of Jesus, and because of Jesus, they could be sensitive. It all boils down to the word identity. What's your identity? I tell people I'm a Christian first, before I am what clan, what tribe, what color. What hits me first is that I'm a Christian first. So I'm a Christian first. I'm your brother before I go into all this stuff. But some of us have not totally shared the worldly identities. And those identities speak too strongly. They threaten the word of God. They threaten the kingdom of God. They threaten our emotional balance because we've never let Jesus become Lord of those places that are fighting. That's why I use the word sensitivity, because everything you mentioned is a reality. But with sensitivity and Jesus being the source of our strength, we can overcome that. We can stop judging people for whatever, how they look, where they come from, and what kind of stuff. The world is changing a lot. And different generations have a hard time judging certain things. I know my generation, when I talk to my children, there's certain things they find, that's okay, Dad, it happens all the time. I'm like, how can that be? And said, Dad, you're judgmental. I'm like, what do you mean I'm judgmental? And they're trying to help me say that this world has changed a lot. And I'm falling behind a little bit and I need to step up. It's not that we condone those bad behaviors, but there are things that are not right or wrong, but we need to be sensitive about. And sensitivity does not mean it's the standard that Jesus is Lord, but we don't make those things the main frame of our stay in the kingdom of God to the point where we're falling apart from each other. In our hearts, we never say it, but in our hearts we're holding back. We're not coming out, and that affects the kingdom worse than what we can see. When you have something destroying you from within and you don't know it, it's terrible. So that's why it says these things. Those who feel free to eat. So it's not about these things. It's about Jesus being Lord. Will you accept that? Now, people say offensive things politically, but Jesus is Lord and you love them anyway. That they'll say offensive things about cultures and you love them anyway. They'll say offensive things about what and you love them anyway. Because this is the society we live in. How will we reach out if we're judging ourselves inside already? We've got to overcome it here and then we can reach out amazingly. Does that make sense? So let's be sensitive. But sensitivity is not a license to say, so you aren't sensitive to me, so that means I ain't coming along. No, we'll walk through it. Contemptuous attitudes. Steve, can you help us understand contempt in a lawyer's mindset? Contempt in a lawyer's mindset, what's that? Contempt? Yeah, contempt in the law.
Disrespectful to the judge.
There we go. Disrespectful to the judge, to the court. So when I say contemptuous attitudes, it's just disrespect. We can have that inbuilt in the system, in how we look at things. It says, who are you to condemn someone else's servant? They are responsible to the Lord, so let them judge whether they are right or wrong. And with the Lord's help, they will do what is right and will receive His approval. But sometimes we can have such a contemptuous attitude around things. What are some of the things we show contempt about? In the kingdom and out of the kingdom, yes. How others raise or discipline their children. We can show contempt about that, yes. Financial struggles. So let's talk about how others raise children. I know someone who was very angry and had terrible anger with his children. All the kids became disciples. That's not to say those that were so good and the kids did not become disciples, that they had something wrong with them. God will approve all that stuff. It's not our place to sit down and start saying, something is wrong with how you raise them. All the Bible says is that they'll be Christians when they're older. Now, the word older may be 70, 18, 26, 30, 40, I don't know. But we want to frame everything to our place and start have these contemptuous looks about people. There's something wrong with you. And then those of us that are feeling that because we're not feeling open and we're not really talking through stuff, we really feel judged and put down. But if we really talk about this stuff, it's God that we are all about. It's not about the things we do in this community as a church. It has to be about God. So how we raise people, children, is very important. Yeah, I'm not saying that makes me to stop learning. I want to learn and learn to raise children well. I won't really be in that game. But that doesn't mean that those of us, some of us, that can just take the energy out of our system. We're not happy because the children never became disciples. You know what? God's going to work that out. And some children become disciples and leave and then come back. So trust that God is working in all things. There was another one. There was raising children. There was another one. What was the other one? Financial. There's a lot to learn about finances. Amen? There's a lot to learn. And the church has a lot of things that need to be done. But I think we miss the point if we are in a finance distress, you are ashamed that you're not able to talk about it. We're missing the point. We need to be able to be open enough and talk about it. But if somebody talks to you and you look down on them, there are many scriptures about that. When you look down on people, there's many scriptures about that. It can come back to haunt you. In fact, my conviction is that you cannot help people if you don't like them. And you cannot help people if you don't have compassion and sympathy for them. And that's our role, to help the world to come to God. But if we're judging them so much, how do we reach out to them? We may never tell them we don't like of them, but they can see by how we treat them. Like, something is not right. This guy comes across like he doesn't really respect who I am. It's contemptuous. Other generations are the one you're in. I mean, one of the things that we have to do better as a church is to stop talking about millennials like there's something terrible about millennials. There's nothing terrible about these people. They're good people. If you really think about it, every generation has issues with the generation in front. Is that not true? Well, not sure they're all agreeing right now. The difference that the millennials have is that they come to us in a world that none of us was prepared for. Too much knowledge, too much information, very little responsibility, and that can challenge everyone. But it's just a generation. We should do a better job and not put them down on that. I think we'll do a better job to embrace them and come along. We'll do a better job to embrace them and have them learn what we know and learn some things from them. There's a lot you can learn from millennials. If you are stuck with technology, talk to these people. They're going to help you out. This is the future. So get over there and find out how it works out. There are many things millennials can offer that we got to learn and embrace the baby boomers, embrace the Generation X, embrace and everyone else that you can embrace if they're being godly, and if they're not, love them and show them God anyway. So we got to be careful about these contemptuous attitudes. Is there another hand that was going up? Steve?
We can be contemptuous of people that are suffering or going through hardship, just like Job's friends treated him.
Just like Job's friends treated him. In other words, we can this kind of people. If something is going wrong with X or Y, what are they doing wrong? That's our default switch. What are you doing wrong that your life is not just working out? And the Job's friend do a perfect job of that. They go at him at all angles. You know, you must have sinned, man. You got to tell us. You sinned. You did something wrong. Life happens to everyone. You can be the most hardworking person and you'll have trouble. And you can be sometimes the not hardworking person, you'll have it good. God has a way of walking through these things. So we need to be careful about how we see people and quickly get contemptuous about them because something is wrong with them. No, compassion, empathy, help them build the body of Christ. Yes. Proven right. I gave you advice. You didn't take it. Now you see. We've done it. It's not just him. We've done it. I see it with my children. Sometimes I'm trying to help them. And they want to go a different route. And there are days when they failed, I was tempted to rub it in and say, I told you. Then I said, well, I think I just lost them when I say that. I think I'm better saying, okay, so how do you want to do it this time? How can I help? And sometimes I say, yeah, I think, Dad, you're right. And I don't say, yeah, I was right. No. I say, well, yeah, we try that. Let's see what happens. I think as a church, we got to do a better job with that. And he's right. Sometimes you give people advice for whatever reasons. They take a different route. They're your brother. They're your sister. And Jesus is their Lord. Love them anyway. And help them come around. People don't always take it the first time. But that's not a reason to throw them out of the kingdom or mentally or emotionally. Love them anyway. There's another hand going up somewhere. Yes? True, we can actually be very self-righteous with people in sin. We can become religious and not connect with their pain and their struggle and just put them in a, like, hate the sin, but don't hate the person. Talk to them, find out what happened, and reach out to them. And when that happens, in the church, we hide a lot of sin. People are struggling with sin and they're not talking. But if we are open, it's a cleansing place. We repent and God does miracles among us. Does that make sense? So let's get safe. Let's get people talking. Let's not be contemptuous about, let's get people open, but let's help them when they are open. Hate the sin, love them. Does that make sense? One more and then we have to keep rolling here. There was a hand going somewhere. Okay, Alan. When someone's sin is different like your sin, and we are very funny in the kingdom. We have categorization of sin. Certain sins, this is a big sin. This is small sin. And we do all this in our minds and we play around with it. But the Bible says, you know, these sins are all equal. You can't play around with it. So you need to be careful about categorizing it to a point where, because then you're going through it, but you're rationalizing and not dealing with it. So you're not growing and coming out of that sin. And I want to encourage us to realize that those are attitudes of contempt. We get so caught up in that instead of doing what the Bible... Jesus did not show the same things with sinners, Zacchaeus, and all the people that he met. He was really going after their sin, but loved the people and tried to get them to come to the kingdom of God. If we can do that well inside, it'll be easy to reach out. Does that make sense? Attitudes of looking down on others. So why do you condemn others, condemn another believer? Why do you look down on another believer? Remember, we will all stand before the judgment seat of God. We touched that a lot already in what we talked about. But we can put people down a lot on all the things I said. And here's what I want to say. It simply says in your heart that Jesus is not your standard. The standard is your performance. That's why you look down on people. And as we can create a culture in our worship, in our attitude, where it's hard to be authentic. Because when I am, I'm put down. You know, we are compared from the day you're born. You know that. We weigh people. So that we're comparing. You're this kilo, so whatever, this is this, whatever, you know. We already done the comparison. We start doing the head and all that as you grow and all that stuff. IQ is coming out. By the time you hit K or whatever, pre-K, and you start, we're talking about your progression, you're compared all the way. Before you know it, we're making classes, we fast move, middle, who do we give attention? Before you know it, you come to a job, we're comparing. Then you come to church, we continue with our culture. No, this is the body of Christ. It's different. But I say all that to say we live in a world that does that 24/7. So when you come to church, you can... And I know you cannot change your workplace. I know that. They're going to grade you, whether you like it or not. So play, work hard there. But here, understand what spirit you come to the body of Christ that is maturing and can empathize with different people as we go forward. We'll have mature sisters and mature brothers. Some are married, some are not. Let's not make it like there's something wrong with this other one and this. We got to love each other. Amen. I mean, let's talk about fellowship. Sometimes we don't take each other on fellowship a lot. And I can talk to the singles today that I think we just don't do enough fellowshipping. Or dating. Let me come back to the right terminology. Dating is the right terminology. We're not dating a lot here. We don't go out a lot. And I say, what's the problem? What's wrong with that? What is it that we just don't go out a lot and just take this sister, this brother out? And, I mean, let's talk about this. The numbers are clear. We have more sisters than brothers. So brothers, I have some words for you. You got to do some speed dating here. We got to get going with one or two sisters on a Saturday. I got two dates. We don't know. We're going to have it. Let's make it happen. To encourage. No strings attached. The Bible says they were devoted to fellowship to encourage. No strings attached. You're not hoping for a wedding. You're not hoping for anything. You're just saying, I want to encourage you as my sister in Christ. Let's go out and have a good time. Who are you? Amen. Don't feel the pressure. You have every right to say, right now, I just dream of taking all the sisters on fellowship. Or on dating. Does that make sense? Sometimes that can be an issue. We feel insecure. It can get worldly. Is she pretty? Is she not pretty? Whatever. Is he handsome? Is he not handsome? I don't like the way he dresses. All that stuff is very subjective. Very subjective stuff. You follow that? I mean, if you look at the pictures back in the 50s and how people dressed and back in the 60s and then the 70s and the 80s and how we dress now, God help us. If you see some of our pictures, you may laugh at us. We need to stop this. We really need to step up the fellowship, the dating life, and make it great and awesome. Some people say, what do you talk about? Well, you just find out who they are. That's what you do. Aim for harmony. Romans 14, 18 to 19. If you serve Christ with this attitude, you will please God and others will approve of you too. So then, let us aim for harmony in the church and try to build each other up. That is what I would like to encourage us to do today. Aim for harmony. Question. How is your family group? Is there harmony there? You guys get together? Are you hardly there? How's your marriage? How's your marriage? Is there harmony? Did you build it and work on it and make it work? Are there people you resent and angry and all that stuff is flying? If you serve Christ with this attitude, you will please God. That's the key one. You please God. I think we aim too low. We want to please each other. Please God. I'm not asking you to please each other. Please God. If we please each other, it's a problem. We're going to start having cliques again. Let's please God. That's what he says. And others will approve of you too, if then others come. The priority is God. Others come along. So then, let us aim for harmony in the church. So that's our goal, aim for harmony, and try to build each other up. Another question. When is the last time you built anyone up? Not flattering them, not stroking them. Build them up. I'll let you figure that out. God's word is bigger than any opinions. What do we have? Let's talk about opinions. It's okay. Feel safe. We can talk about it. We're not going to put it on you. Opinions? Nobody wants to talk right now. I'm waiting. What? What? We all do opinions. Okay. Clearly, we got quiet here because we're spiritual enough not to say it in public. But we hold those them dear to our hearts and play them out sometimes. We play them out. We don't just say it, but we play it to their to our opinions. I mean, I like LeBron James, so I was watching him a bit yesterday. Now he has got opinion. I knew I threw that out. It's coming. And it's coming for me. I went the wrong side now. But I've seen people argue about sports like it's a life and death situation. I mean, if you watch the pundits on TV and how they got it, oh my goodness, they really paid for that job. It's just an opinion. I like LeBron James. I'm sure you don't. I'm sure there's somebody who doesn't like him. It's just an opinion. My daughter doesn't like that team. She likes Warriors. I'm like, let's see what happens. It's an opinion. But what happens if we took those two opinions of basketball and started using them? Let's take the idea of that and start bringing other church issues, and we create strong opinions like that. Jesus disappears in the game, and the opinions go, yes. Women's role. Women's role. That can be a big one. Big opinions and fights and fights and fights and fights and fights. We got to look at the Bible and keep discussing that and coming around and coming around. Some things will agree quickly, some things will take a while. That's a fact. Yes. Tina, can you say that again? Who to date? In the world or in the church? That can be very opinionated. Fight can come out of that. Yes. Church building. School or building. Irrespective of the facts we are facing and realities. Sorry? if women should cover their head during service and prayer. So the Bible says that don't tear apart the work of God over what you eat. Remember, all foods are acceptable. But it is wrong to eat something if it makes another person stumble. It is better not to eat meat or drink wine or do anything else if it might cause another believer to stumble. So there's a lot of opinions we hold, but we need to submit ourselves to Christ. So these opinions are dealt with in time, and we come around to a place of surrender. What we do is we let these opinions become so big that they steal our joy, our confidence, our desire to worship God. All that stuff just gets in the way. We never come around. I say all that because I think that as we talk about being more safe, authentic, we have to learn that Yah will carry all these things, but can we submit to God so that we can move forward and gradually we'll sort out one by one? Does that make sense? The idea that I'm going nowhere until the opinion is heard doesn't help. It doesn't help. They were having the same issues around food, but they kept walking and kept walking until they came to a place of understanding. They came from very distinct, different cultures, but they kept walking around it. I think we're done. It is not going backwards. It went too hot. Okay, here we go. Be considerate. That's the last one. Romans 15, 1-2 says, "We who are strong must be considerate of those who are sensitive about things like this. We must not just please ourselves. We should help others do what is right and build them up in the Lord." Now we've talked opinions. But then he says, okay, we who are strong must be considerate of those who are sensitive about such things. It's all about food and all that stuff that we're fighting about, remember? And then it says, like this, we must not just please ourselves. So the challenge with opinion is all about what I think. It's about me. It's very little about God at that point. It's about what I'm thinking. And yes, we can get in the Bible and say, here's what the Bible says and here's why I say that. But we have to be careful that we're working together with the leadership and everyone until we come to a place that it turns around. We should help others do what is right and build them up in the Lord. So it's a process. But if we do that, then we'll have better conversations and less bickering or complaining, but much more progress of moving forward. Amen? Just like I got here and I looked at my gas tank and I said, I need to get more gas at some point, but I was running a bit late. I said, let's keep going. So I'm aging close to that E, but I'm thinking I'll get it before I get home. I didn't say, oh, okay, now we're going nowhere until this is done. You got to work with it until eventually you come back and gas it up and we're right back to where we need to be. Church, I pray that it helps you rethink your heart, your attitude, your aim, and all the things that we have as we build the body of Christ. And I pray that you become that light, become that change you're looking for, and the church becomes better as each one of us repents. God bless you.